Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And we got everybody on now. We got our folks from Cairo on. We got our folks from KTTH on. So it's time to hit the ground running. And I'm going to get into what I was talking about with in our three-minute intro. And I think you guys remember, well, no, I shouldn't say that. A couple of people, they go, Zach, I hear you alluding to the three-minute intro. That's not coming in on the podcast. It just has to do with timing, guys, with the way the two different stations work. We don't cover a lot. But what we were beginning to discuss was the market. And what I was getting into saying, we're going to get into the market update phase, and I'll give you guys the blow-by-blow as well about today's show. So we were unable to get an interview. Well, we were, but it wasn't the one I wanted to get. We've got another interview that I want to have on here, and we're going to have that next week. So this week, you're just stuck with me. And I'm actually okay with that because there's several things that I want to discuss. And obviously, the interview kind of chews into that time available. So, but right out of the gate, getting into the market update, it is fascinating to me. And if we weren't making money or if I was all bared up at this point or something, I think it would be very frustrating. I can see that. But, you know, we're just riding it in our risk managed portfolios. So as long as this thing keeps going up, I mean, we'll take it. It's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me to watch the breadth thinning out, meaning that it's fewer and fewer and fewer stocks that are going up. Today alone, Apple was up 5.5%. Approaching, we're right at a $2.1 trillion market cap, or it's now worth 10% the entire size of our economy. You add Apple together with Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, and those four companies, their market capitalization equals something like, I want to say, 30 or 35% the entire size of our economy. They now equal something like 30% of the S&P 500. It's unbelievable. And the thing that is the most amazing about it is all the justification and the narrative behind it. Everybody trying to put a reason why it's saying, well, these companies, they just keep growing revenue. False. Look at Tesla. Tesla's revenue is flat over the last 2 years. Year over year, they're down. People are like, well, they're not down that much considering the pandemic. Okay, but you've got an automobile company at $400 billion in market cap that's never produced a dime of profit, and don't tell me they have. They have not. They've been marginally profitable because of EV credits, subsidies from the government. Operationally and in terms of operating cash flow, they have never produced a profit. And their revenues quit growing. And the narrative is behind it. Everybody just said it's like they're trying to fill in a gap and create a narrative. Apple, right? It's nowhere near as crazy overvalued. And it's a great company that produces tons of profit. You know, that no problem. But their valuation in the last 6 months, Apple's stock has doubled and their valuation has gone to the highest level it's been at in the last 20 years. And this in a period of time when they are, you know, in terms of their growth as a company, they've stalled out. Now, I'm not saying they're going away. What I'm saying is a valuation should reflect, you know, increased cash flow, growth. And what's amazing to me is that the narrative, everybody tells you the reason why these companies are doing so well is because of the increased profit and revenue. It's all nonsense. It's complete nonsense. And don't anticipate me as this being the guy that's raging against the market. We're benefiting from it. I'm not complaining. I mean, I kind of feel like if we went to a Mariners game and saw, you know, the entire lineup, all nine men in a row hit home runs. First of all, things like that don't happen to Mariners fans, right? Second of all, we'd all be talking about it because it's incredible. I've just never seen anything like this. That you've got these companies reaching these astronomical valuations that are just outside the norm of anything in recorded financial history, and doing it in a period of time where we're going to be putting up some of the worst economic numbers this year that we've ever done since the Great Depression, including 08-09. And the only period of time, this is also amazing to me, the only period of time, I mean, we're so far past in terms of valuation and debt levels and market cap and concentration of power at the top of the S&P. We're at places that we've never been before. We're so far past the highs that we saw in 1929, the valuation highs and all that kind of stuff. We're so far past the highs we saw in 99. But here's the irony of all this. The only time that you can really comp to this market in terms of valuation and the incessant upward moves and the money being focused especially on tech stocks and no one caring a lick about fundamentals. The only time you can really compare that is to 99. And I think we all remember that. 98, 99, the tech bubble, right? But here's the crazy thing. In 1999, the economy was rocking. I want to say GDP growth was something like 4.1 or 4.2% in 1999. This year, you're going to be negative 8 to negative 11%, which will be the biggest single year drop in GDP in the history of markets going back to the Great Depression. So in the worst of economic times, this is when we're seeing, the next highest valuation bubble-like conditions. It's just remarkable. Look, if you're a value person to me, I'm not saying it's not frustrating. It is, because you're watching financial markets that have become a mockery of themselves, that have just been run rampant with speculation and madness. But at the same time, sit back and appreciate the absolute, unparalleled insanity of it all. And the other thing I got to tell you guys, and we're going to get into this later in the show, but don't buy into the justifications. There's always, I was talking to a client about this week, and I think one of the biggest misconceptions that investors have is we look back on bubbles, look back to 08, 09. Right, the real estate bubble. Look back to the tech bubble. We look back at bubbles, and in hindsight, we go, it's so insane. Why was anybody doing it? In hindsight, the assumption we make is that they were completely irrational and stupid, and that's why that happened. And I think that's a very dangerous assumption to make. And the reason why bubbles happen is these types of conditions get going. And even the sober players, even the people that care about fundamentals, even the people that care about economic growth and profits and debt and all that kind of stuff, they throw in the towel because they can't handle missing out on the party. And so really effectively where the bubble pops is when you have nobody left to buy. You run out of buyers because everybody's in, right? And the same will be true of this one. The difference with this one, like we've discussed many a time, is that typically the central bank or the Federal Reserve would get concerned about these valuations. And like I said, if you're not concerned now, you're never going to be, because they're the highest on record with the highest debt levels. I mean, just everything, no matter how you look at it, it's the most extreme we've ever seen. And in the past, you'd have central banks get concerned about that. Because when you get bubbles this big, just the nature of the bubble collapsing or popping ends up being its own economic crisis. I think 99 is a really good example of that. 99, there was not an economic calamity that happened, or in early 2000 when we peaked in the tech bubble. There was no economic calamity that happened. Those stocks quit going up. Therefore, traders quit making profits on them. And then that in and of itself, that bubble popping is what turned into the recession. The economic downturn. And I think the same will be true this time. I just think that it could take longer because the central banks have absolutely zero desire to try to keep things rational, right? Remember, even in 96, Greenspan said there's irrational exuberance here. You're not going to hear these guys say it. And I think it's because they really don't have any other game in town. They're just trying to gin the market up, hoping that that stimulates the economy. But man, are we in dangerous territory. It's just mind blowing. I have no other comment to say other than it's just mind blowing. Watching these companies, and Apple's a great company. Don't take it as me beating up on them. We owned it for a long time. We sold it in the not too distant past because it got too expensive, and I don't regret that. I mean, do I wish I'd have held it on to the all time highs if I knew that? Well, sure. But we held to our discipline process. It got too expensive. You know, so I'm not beating up on these companies. I think it's a fantastic company. It's a mega cap that isn't growing. Maybe it has some potential to keep growing. This ain't a company that's sprinting to the top side here. And it's going up like a speculative, you know, startup. It's just unbelievable to me. And then watching how it rolls from one stock to another, that's the other way you tell that it's in a mania, is it's just not fundamentally driven. Another stock starts going up and then it just keeps going up, right? Just because it attracts more and more capital. So anyway, and look, we're not done with the market update. We're going to split it in two segments. So we're going to take a quick break. But if you're listening to this, and if you recognize this, if you're scratching your head going, what in the world is going on here? First of all, you're not insane. Okay, and again, we just present the data. First of all, you're not insane. There's never been anything like this in the history of financial markets. Okay, where the most overvalued period in history occurs during the worst economic shock or problem that we dealt with in 90 years. Right? I don't know why it surprises me. I mean, that's kind of a microcosm of this entire market cycle. But it is crazy. And I think the scary thing is the further it goes up, the less doubters it has, the market and these stocks in general. And you're hearing people, it's a bubble, guys. And this is why we need a risk management strategy, because here's the truth. You're not going to hear me calling for the end of the bubble every single week. Because it doesn't have to work that way. If central banks keep up this profligate spending, which part of me believes they don't have a choice. If they keep force feeding money into this market, theoretically, this can keep going on. Right? It's pretty crazy. But this is why you need a risk management strategy. Because if it keeps going up, and if it doubles from here, kind of like reminiscent of Japan's market in the late 90s, we have to benefit from that, because sitting in cash, what's our alternative? Bonds? You guys know what I think about bonds, right? At least stocks give us the opportunity to win. But if we're going to have that exposure to markets at these insane levels, and again, crazier than 99, you remember what happened then. I hope you do. But we need to make sure that every single thing we're doing has a defensive layer built into it. Because what is the thing that we cannot have happen? We can't take catastrophic losses in retirement. You don't have enough time to make up the money. You're like, oh, well, Zach, you don't know which direction the market's going to go. No, you're right. I don't. I admit that to you every single week. What I can tell you is that this price action and the valuations and the debt load, they're completely unsustainable. And no rational player would argue with that. So you need a risk management strategy. It's more true today than when we got on the air, you know, 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. And if you don't even know what a risk management strategy is, it's making sure that we position your portfolio in a way that a catastrophic loss that can negatively impact your retirement or derail it is not possible. We can do that, guys. We can also do it while still increasing your upside potential and all the while lowering your fees. It's possible, and it's worth the 3 to 5 minutes it takes to give us a call at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can email us directly, get a copy of the Common Sense Investment booklet. Go to the radio show website, check out the podcast, follow me on. You guys know the deal. But again, take the 3 to 5 minutes to invest in how it is that we're capturing the majority of this upside, but we were still only down low single digits in March 23rd when this market was down 36. Because I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm just telling you it is. It is. Or maybe this is the one stock market that will never go down and we'll all be billionaires. Hey, course, I'm joking. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to finish the market update. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. So let's get into, we got a shorter segment. I ran long, shocker, on that opener. Let's get into the rest of the, so anyway, we'll get into this later. There's a segment we're going to do, which is beware the valuation justifiers. And I'm going to provide you some information. And again, what we try to do here is arm you with the truth and arm you with a better way to do things. So I want to reiterate, this is not a bearish radio show. Okay. This is simply focusing on the facts. And that's what I'm trying to do here. So I'm going to use some examples to give you, you know, some hard evidence of what I mean by valuation justification. We're also going to go over the housing market. I keep getting a lot of questions about that. So actually the housing segment will be our next segment. But let's finish wrapping up here with the market update and gold and silver. So gold and silver have stalled out a little bit. I will tell you this, it doesn't really concern me. I think the basic reason for their stall out is the fact that they haven't announced that next stimulus deal yet, which I think is actually incredibly short-sighted on Congress's part. Especially on the Trump administration's part. And again, this is not political. This is just making, I know that people are being artificially anesthetized by the performance of the market. And it has arrested the alarm that Congress felt, right? And that to some degrees, the Federal Reserve has felt. They feel like they got everything under wraps. But mark my words, with the sustained unemployment that you currently have, if you do not extend this extra $600 a week that people were getting on unemployment benefits, you are going to see that show up in consumer spending almost immediately. Okay. And so if you're looking around right now, scratching your head going, this doesn't make any sense, let me flip over and tell you why it does sort of make sense. Now, the valuation side of it, anytime you're buying assets that are completely detached from the underlying fundamentals, it's only a matter of time till you get cleaned out. I mean, I'm not saying it's ever a good idea, but one of the reasons that the market is going up is that this is the only recession in U.S. history where corporate debt levels have risen and consumer income has risen. Okay, but here's the tricky thing, and it's something that everybody should know if you've watched 5 minutes of news at any point over the last 5 months, which is that corporate debt levels and consumer income are not rising because things are going well. They're rising because of government intervention. And that government intervention is currently stopped. That extra $600 a month is not on the way. And the reason why I said I think it's short-sighted on Trump's side of it is I think Trump's going to have a very tough time getting reelected if the market does not stay rocking like this into the election. And if he can't use the strong economy argument, I think that's going to, even though, you know, he didn't create COVID, I'm not saying it's his fault. What I'm saying is that I think that kicks a big leg out from underneath, you know, his case to get reelected. And there isn't enough oomph. You don't have enough oomph in an economy that still has 11% plus unemployment officially. Unofficially, you're probably more like 15, 16. But when you have that high of unemployment, you can't pull back on the stimulus reins because there isn't enough spending there to compensate. It can't fill the gap. The reason consumer spending and corporate debt levels have gone up is because the Fed's in there buying corporate debt so they can issue more of it. The corporations can. And consumer incomes are up because they're getting an extra $600 a week on top of their full unemployment benefits. And that's why I actually think that we're going into kind of a nasty time here, because that the decreased unemployment benefits, they're going to show up by the first week, maybe second week of September. You're going to start seeing that. Additionally, September and October and November, especially in election year, have never, you know, they don't have very strong records of being very, you know, strong periods of time. I mean, what do they say? Most market crashes occur in November. So, I mean, one of the things that I hearken back to thinking is the serene summer we had leading into the Lehman Brothers crash in September. And I'm not saying another Lehman event's going to happen. But, you know, another one that's crazy is Tesla, one of our old favorites. We're at almost $2,100 a share. Their revenue is down 5% year over year. The company's never made a profit. They're saying they made a profit because they're selling EV credits. That's the only reason they're profitable. Structurally, they're not. Structurally, they're still a negative cash flowing entity. It's just nuts. I mean, the whole thing has just gone off the rails. Gold and silver, though, don't really worry me. I think they're taking a pause simply due to the lack, like I was saying earlier, the fact that we haven't extended the extra unemployment benefits. I think as the goodies start up again, because they have to, you're already seeing that economic impetus slow down. You're already seeing it roll. You're seeing places in New York where real estate's down as much as 40, 50%, which is a problem. And I think as soon as you see the government largesse and the Federal Reserve printing press get turned back on, then I would expect to see silver and gold jump up. So, you know, again, they are part of a diversified portfolio. Do not load up on them. Okay. It's part of a diversified portfolio. There is no one answer. It's one of the reasons we need a risk management strategy. And what do I mean by that, guys? I mean, A, bond portfolio. Let's switch your bond portfolio out with our bond replacement strategy that has no fee and that's insured against loss and that typically makes somewhere between 2 to 2.5 times as much as a diversified bond portfolio. Okay. On the stock side, let's use the value portfolio and our algorithmic portfolio that have defense built in, which is why they were only down single digits during the March drop when the market was down 36. Okay. Because what we really need to do is while this wave of insanity is running, we got to be able to profit from it. That's the only way we protect ourselves from inflation. That being said, we've got to ensure that we have a chair when the music stops. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And it's not just so we don't lose. It's so when reality finally sets in, we can go in there and buy these companies that are good companies that are just way overvalued, and we'll be able to buy them for pennies on the dollar. So take the 2 or 3 minutes it takes to give us a call at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Get that common sense investing booklet that talks about our bond replacement strategy that actually increases your upside, lowers your risk, and lowers your fees. Find out about that algorithmic portfolio, how it was up, beat the S&P last year and was only down 7 when the S&P was down 36, and it's up 6 or 7% this year. Figure out our value portfolio, how we hedged it against what happened so we were only down 13 or 14% in that thing when the market tanked. Educate yourselves. Again, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. And let's get into a segment. Now, I've talked about this on the show, I think, multiple times. I don't know if we've ever done a segment on it, though. And the reason why I felt prompted to do a segment on it today was simply due to the fact that I've been getting a lot of questions about it, even from our clients. And I think it's something that is greatly misunderstood. And I think it is something that, if provided with the right information, I think it's fairly easy to understand. And so I want to talk about housing. First and foremost, I think the reason why it's on everybody's mind, and I think, look, bull or bear, I think the one thing we can all agree on is that these are pretty weird times. As a matter of fact, they're so weird that we've never seen anything like it. And I think that that has people worried, rightfully so, right? You got unemployment levels right now that are in excess of what they were at the end, at the peak of the financial crisis. Markets are obviously not behaving the same. And naturally, I think people, the question I get all the time is, how's housing going to do, right? There's a thing in finance that we talk about, which is, I think people get caught all the time fighting the last war. Meaning the thing that has occurred last, the thing that most recently bit them, that tends to be the thing they worry about the most. And it's funny because I get less alarmed comments about their stock portfolio than I do their home. And this is universal. Almost never. And I don't know if it's ever been this. So maybe not even almost, maybe just never. Economic crises never have the same genesis point. It's usually what people fear because it's the last thing they remember. It's the last bit of pain. And I think another thing that we can all agree on looking around at culture today is, and I don't know if it's more than it's ever been. It sure seems that way, but people have shockingly short memories, shockingly short. It amazes me that people out there that legitimately believe that stocks can only go up. You look at me, you don't remember 12 years ago? You don't remember 20 years ago? You don't remember 19? You don't remember all these things? You haven't read any history? But they do, and they always do at the height of bubbles, so it shouldn't be a surprise to me or anybody else. But where does housing fit into that? Look, I think that people are looking at housing. I understand the concern, but let me just walk you through this. The housing, the prices you have in housing right now, nominally, are higher than they were during the bubble, which was driven by housing, right? So I understand the thought process. But as it relates to prices, are houses really more expensive today than they were at the height of the bubble? Okay. I'm going to tell you, no, they're not. And the reason why I say no, they're not, is on a nominal basis, if you were paying cash for a house, yes, in most places of the country, they are higher. There are exceptions. But yes, here's the issue. How many people out there go and pay cash for a home? They don't. Most people don't buy a house. They buy a mortgage. I just refied my house three weeks ago, something like that. 30-year fixed at 275. Okay, you didn't have anywhere close to those rates. I think you bottomed out in 30-year money at like 5.1. Maybe it got into the fours in 2007. And you're like, well, Zach, that's not a very big difference. I agree. But let's go, let's even bump it up. Let's say it's 3% now. I won't even hold to that 275. So let's say rates right now are 3% on 30-year money. And in the housing bubble, they were 5. 2% shouldn't make that big of a difference. Oh, but it does. Because the difference between a 3% mortgage and a 5% mortgage, do the math, it's about 65, 66% increase in interest expense. I think the thing that people forget all the time is that as interest rates get lower and lower, right, one percentage move becomes a bigger and bigger percentage move. And we saw this in 2018. You guys have heard me rail on it many times. I think mortgages got down to their previous record of like 3.5, 3.4, something like that. And they rose to like 5.15 in 2018. And that rise happened over a 16-month period of time, which in and of itself is nothing that crazy. Mortgages have risen by a point, point and a quarter, point and a half over a 16-month period of time, but never when they were coming from 3.3 or 3.4. So that was, again, another 60-plus percent increase in interest expense. And if you go do the math on a $400,000 home, the difference between a 3.5% 30-year fixed mortgage and one at 5.1 or 5.2, you're looking at like a difference of $350 to $450 bucks a month. So when you're looking at housing prices as it exists right now, in most markets, now there's exceptions. I don't want to talk blanket statements. But in most markets, guys, housing prices are simply a derivative of mortgage rates. Because the vast majority of people out there are not buying homes with cash. So they're not concerned. You guys have heard the talk. They're not concerned if the house is $400,000 or $600,000. The concern is, can they afford the monthly payment? And the only way with 11% unemployment that you keep housing going up is if you keep pushing rates lower. And I got to tell you, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. And I think they're doing it. And I think the minute housing starts slowing down, you're going to see the Federal Reserve jump in there and start buying even more mortgage-backed securities. Because what do they say all the time? They go, your home is your greatest investment. What do they mean by that? The average person that is retiring, the biggest chunk of money they have is an equity in their home. And if that equity is going up, they can refi their house. They can use that money to pay off credit cards or student debt. They can buy a boat. They can do all the same things that got us in trouble in 07. And the government is actively encouraging that. Now, what's the difference? The difference is that I don't think that there is any evidence of anywhere close to the amount of mortgage fraud. Okay, so I think that for a large part, they have cleaned that up. Yet, I do think, and again, I don't have any evidence of this, I do see a lot of anecdotal evidence that they are laxing lending standards. For instance, a client of mine that owned his house free and clear and had about a $2.5 million portfolio with us, he retired about 4 years ago. And he went to go get his house refinanced right after he retired, and they wouldn't do it because he didn't have an income anymore. Then all of a sudden they called him back about 4 months ago and they said, hey, you know, this and this changed. He didn't know the name of the rule or whatever it was, but he goes, oh, we can get you financed. And he's like, but now I'm even further removed from my job. It didn't make any sense, but boom, his refinance went through like that. And it was with the exact same mortgage lending institution that had turned him down 3 years prior. And I'm hearing several stories of that, of people that weren't able to get refinanced 2 years ago are able to do it now all of a sudden. And I think one of the scary things, and we alluded this to last year or last week on our show when I was talking to Luke Grohman, I think one of the really scary things is that the Federal Reserve, and not just them, central banks around the world, as well as the governments, have become, you've got this dichotomy where we look back at 99 and we look back at 08 and 09 and we say, yeah, those were crises, right? Those were bubbles. They were unsustainable and we made big mistakes and here's how we're going to avoid them and all that. And then you hear them say, okay, but here's the goal we're looking for. We want 4% unemployment. We want 2.5 to 3% inflation. We want all these goals. And if you look back, those goals are identical to the economic conditions we had at the height of those bubbles. So one of the things that concerns me is the powers that be, including the Federal Reserve and the federal government, their earmarks for a healthy economy have become conditions that we only witness in bubbles. So sustainable markets and healthy functioning markets, that now has become synonymous with bubble type conditions. And I do not think housing is a problem right now. I do think it is possible that it becomes a problem over the next 3 to 5 years because we know the playbook. They're going to keep jimmying with lending standards and mortgage rates to try to keep the housing market going up in price. Right, because it's not even good enough to hold it steady. Not when you have 11% unemployment. You got to have new sources of cash and capital flowing into the economy. And that's one of the reasons they're ginning up. They call it the wealth effect. That's the Federal Reserve's terms. That if we juice up the stock market, that wealth will flow into the other parts of the economy, which that is proven to be 100% false. And I know that there are people down there. What about trickle-down economics? Trickle-down economics get a bad rap. I think there are aspects of that are true, but the thing with trickle-down economics is that was more tied to the functioning of the corporations themselves, not necessarily the price of their stock, meaning that as corporations made more money, they'd hire more people, and that would open up other opportunities. And I think that with the tech revolution we've had, even some of those principles have come into question because you clearly have several monopolies operating in this country that are squeezing the mom and pops out, and that is happening especially right now during the COVID time. But I think the scariest thing about it are these benchmarks, these metrics that these guys want to get back to, and they're going to keep their foot on the accelerator the entire time until we achieve that 2.5 or 3% inflation rate, until we get back to full employment. And my question is if you're able to achieve that, where are we at that point? And how big is the bubble at that point? Because we're not addressing any of the underlying issues. We're not addressing wealth inequality. We've made it worse through this response to coronavirus. Right? This is just shooting up the patient with another shot. Hit him with another round. And as it relates specifically to housing, no, I don't think housing's a bubble right now. I think housing is one of the few things out there that makes sense. It's just important that we understand that housing is not being driven by typical drivers. A, the record low interest rates are number one. B, the other one is that you've reversed this whole urban flight. So prior to coronavirus, the trend, especially with younger people, was moving out of the suburbs and into the cities. Well, that whole process reversed itself on a dime. And the opposite is happening right now, which I actually think points to more civil unrest, meaning that most of the people that are reliant on government services live inside of city limits, right? And you have people exiting right and left, and you've got a lot of tax revenue walking out the door. And once again, I think that this is just, all of this is a manifestation of how short-term thinking everything has gotten and how this culture has gotten so about treating the symptom. Well, the stock market falls, make it go back up. Are we dealing with the underlying issues like over-indebtedness, wealth inequality, monopolies controlling larger and larger portions of the economy? No. And guys, we can't even blame it on the people that are currently in charge, those on the left or those on the right, because this has been going on for 30 years. It's just kind of reaching this penultimate level, right? It's reaching this crescendo that looks especially, you know, glaring in the light of where we're at economically. So on homes, on housing, I want to reiterate, it's all about mortgage rates. If you want to know if your house is going to keep going up, watch mortgage rates. It's really that simple. And here, honestly, is where I think we're going to go. I think you're going to end up eventually seeing mortgage rates in the ones. I think you will eventually see mortgage rates sub ones. And I think you'll see mortgage rates get to zero. I really do. Because what they want to do is they want to elevate prices. Well, the further they elevate prices, the more they're pushing them out of the reach of the millennials and the younger people that are trying to, you know, start establishing homes and start establishing families. So the only way you make that math work is if you continually push down interest rates. And the other reason why I think you're going to see that, guys, is you see it in several other parts of the world. I've told you about my buddy that lives in Copenhagen that has a negative 0.3% interest rate on his condo. Maybe it's negative 2.5. And the way it works is every quarter he gets a credit against his principal owed. So he pays all principal, all of his payment goes to principal. People go, well, that sounds great. It is, but it eventually kills your banks. Because how do you lend, right, with negative rates? Unless the government's just subsidizing it. And so that's where you're, so if you want to know what your house is going to do, just keep an eye on mortgage rates. Do I think it's a great time to be buying homes? Probably not. That being said, if rates are going to go to zero, shoot, I mean, just go do the math. You could probably justify homes substantially higher. And, you know, this is another reason why we think and we believe that our risk management strategy is so important. Because while I don't think that homes are the preeminent worry, not even close to it, at least at this point, they can also lose. We've experienced that. And we look at your house as part of your overall portfolio because it is a substantial asset for most of you. And that's why I love this bond replacement strategy, right? With no fees and insured against loss. It's the only financial asset you own that's not, that is insured against financial loss, including your home. That's why I think it's important that we have stocks exposure because bonds are a no-go. At least stocks can keep going up. At least we're making money this year on stocks. We just need to make sure that when gravity sets in, when reality sets in like it has every time and it always will, that you got a chair when the music stops. And I know that there's tons of you, because I speak to you, tons of you that have been listening for months, some even years, that have still stuck with their 60-40 portfolio. And I'm just saying to you, hey, wake up. Maybe you don't like me. Maybe you don't want to come to be a client of Bulwark, but just get the information. Figure out that there's another way. Make sure that you're more diversified. Do you have precious metal exposure in your portfolio? If not, why? Do you still have 40% of your assets in bonds? If so, why? You'd be better off swapping them out for CDs. Now, our bond replacement strategy is better than that, but, you know, just do something. So call us, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Also, if you want to hear my insights on a more regular basis, and I know that I've got several people in my home that don't, namely my wife, but if you want to hear, I post some research and stuff like that on my Twitter feed, on Bulwark's Twitter feed, at KYR Radio. Again, at KYR Radio. You can follow me on Twitter. But yet call, email us. You don't have to. And if you don't want to call and talk to us directly, email us. Ask for the Common Sense Investment Booklet. Ask for the, which is about our bond replacement strategy. Ask about our risk managed stock portfolios. Ask about, you know, how we protect people. Can we lower your fees? Or what we're saying is true. And when we run you through the process, guys, we just show you all the portfolios. We put together a hypothetical portfolio for you. We tell you exactly what it costs and what it's made historically and what you can expect from there. And then we hand it to you and say, hey, best of luck. Give us a call if you want to proceed. You're not marrying us. But arm yourself with the details because you're going to need it. Okay? This ain't going to keep lasting. But at the same time, it could go longer. We need to be able to benefit from it. And so sitting there in a 40% stock portfolio, paying you a net of fees 1.25%, that ain't going to cut it. That's less than your that's less than the inflation rate. You're losing purchasing power. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our final segment. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. Okay. So again, went a little over time. Only have about 5 minutes left, but I wanted to talk about, or the name of the segment is Beware the Value. The valuation justifiers. And what I mean by that is one of the things I've done when 15 years into this job, 15 years in the business, grown up in a brokerage firm. One thing that is very consistent is anytime we get into these frothy valuations, think back to 2006, 2007. I got in so many arguments about housing. And you know, one of the justifiers was, hey, people are never going to quit needing somewhere to live, right? Or the other one that was my favorite was, it's not a bubble, it's land. God's not making any more of it, right? That was a justifier. Let's go back to 99, right? Height of the tech bubble. It was a new economy, right? Jim Cramer put out a piece about the 10 winner, I think, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I've got it exactly, which the name of the piece was 10 new winners of the new world, or 10 winners of the new world. And he was saying, and he wrote extensively about this. Look, we can't look at valuations the same. This is a different ball game. These things are changing. You got to roll with it. The old guard doesn't understand the valuations anymore. And I think the number one reason why you get valuation justifiers in every single bubble is because, A, that's how they're making money, and nobody ever wants to smack talk the way they're making money, where I will just tell you flat out, we own things, not a lot, but even in our algorithmic portfolio, we own things that are overpriced that I wouldn't normally own because they're working. So I'll just tell you that. Things that I even don't really fundamentally believe in. What's the difference? The difference is we have defensive layers built underneath them. Now, am I out there in Tesla and some of these most egregious things? No. Because I just think that that's just insanity. That it also opens up a whole realm of liability because there's no way I could justify that, right? If our clients end up taking massive losses on stuff like that, what am I going to say? I'm buying it because I was afraid it was going to keep going up. And that, guys, that is not justification to risk your retirement. okay? Because it's never worked. You're betting on a way of thinking or a way of investing that has a 100% disaster rate, 100%. And you get one retirement. The other reason why you hear value justifiers is because nobody in the financial media or no real money manager can ever look at you and tell you, I don't know. Because they're the smartest guy in the room. I had a talk with a client. He goes, Zach, why? And I go, well, Fed's printing money, but why are people willing to pay these prices? And I just told him, mania. I don't know. It's patently absurd. But, you know, we've seen this before. They can't say that because they always have to have an answer. Well, let me just explain it to you here. The discount rate and, whatever, fill in the blank with the nonsense. But the flip side is, like I said, what makes this different, now I don't think it's different this time, it won't be different this time, but the reason why I don't think that you're necessarily staring at imminent collapse is because A, on the S&P 500, we've broken a new all-time highs, regardless of the fact that there's no economic fundamentals supporting it. The other reason is because you do have the Federal Reserve printing, and we see examples of this in the past where markets got even more crazy overvalued than this. Now, I think there are reasons that are going to keep that from happening here, but we'll have to see it. So what do we need? This goes back to my whole thing. What do you need? What you need to be able to do is you need to be able to dance with the confidence that you've got a chair when the music stops. And the easiest way to do that is to swap out your bond portfolio with a higher performing and much safer and much cheaper investment. And the reason why that's important is because if we start making 5 or 6 on your bond portfolio while it's insured against loss, we can be a little more protective on the equity side and still outperform. Right? Because it's the whole performance of your portfolio that matters the most, not a segment. And if you want to know how to do that, guys, which you all should, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and 866-779-RISK. We got to run. We're out of time, but we'll be back next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.